If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the book of the Psalms, to the 33rd chapter, and we're going to begin in the 10th verse there. Psalms, almost in the middle of your Bible, the 33rd chapter, verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of God stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now this moment, make it yours, touch our hearts, touch the heart of each person here. Father, I pray that you would draw us closer to Jesus than we have ever been. Father, allow us to understand some of the blessings that we have in this nation and allow us to take a stand firmly for you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the week. This is the week we celebrate the independence of our nation. It's something that is rightly celebrated. It's more than just a picnic time. It is a time to thank God for the blessings he has given us. You know, you didn't have to live in this nation. You didn't have to be born here. God has blessed us. God has brought some of us here from other places and blessed you with the opportunity to share in what we have. The United States was born when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence. This brave action formally and legally separated America from the Great Britain. Now, John Adams, a leader in the movement, wrote a letter to his wife Abigail and said, "This date will be a memorial epoch in the history of America." He goes on to say, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade and shows and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forevermore." Well, you know the day he was talking about, the day that set America apart from Great Britain. It happened in 1776. The day was July 2nd. Today is the anniversary of that happening. Today. Now, you probably thought July 4th. Many people think that. And actually, our nation celebrates on July the 4th. Well, what is July the 4th about if we separated from Great Britain on July the 2nd? Well, I'm glad you asked. A declaration was drafted by the Congress, Continental Congress, to explain the actions of the Congress in that separation. Now, that declaration was put together by a committee, the chief author and the best writer of the group, Thomas Jefferson. And that was put into place and accepted on July the 4th. So John Adams' prediction was off by 2 days. From the beginning, America celebrated the approval of the Declaration of Independence. The explanation of what Congress did. And people have been fighting to explain what Congress has been doing ever since. Now, I understand that the United States is not perfect. I understand we have trouble. I know we have trouble from sea to shining sea, and we have trouble right here in River City. But I believe this nation has been greatly blessed above all. Others have always wanted what we have. They've wanted our natural resources. We have forests, rich soil, great minerals, ores. There are great wonders right here in the United States that equal or surpass any wonders in the world. There are a few places that can equal or come close to equaling the grandeur of the Grand Canyon, or the beauty of Yosemite, or the wonder of Yellowstone. Right here in America, we have beauty that equals anything found anywhere else in the entire world. And yet there are those who want to criticize. There are those that want to spend their days tearing down the blessings that we enjoy. It really kind of bothers me when some sit back and criticize the very system that has enabled them to live a good life. And some who have gained great wealth in our nation spend that wealth in seeking to tear down those who stand for our liberty. I simply say, if you hate America, find another place and go there. By the way, when are all those people going to leave that were going to leave if Donald Trump was elected president? I also suggest that those who draw a check from this nation's generosity, those in public office, stop biting the hand that feeds them. Some have said they're ashamed of America. My friend, if you're ashamed of this nation, go try to find one you can be proud of. I don't have my head in the sand. I know that there are problems that are boggling the mind. But for this day, I want to talk about some things that are right. I believe this is the right nation. I believe it is the right nation to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe God has equipped us with freedoms for that purpose. And so I want to spend some time talking about what's right. You see, America was right from the first. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Pericles built a nation on culture, it collapsed. Caesar built a nation on power, and it failed. The Medes and the Persians built a nation and drank themselves into oblivion. Egypt flourished and then left Joseph's God and fell. America was founded on the principles of the Lord God. Don't let anybody tell you different. People will say, well, they weren't really believers. They were just deists. That's not true. Of the 55 delegates to the Constitutional Congress of 1787, 52 of them were members of the Christian churches. Revisionists today say just deists. They just believed in a God out there somewhere. But you know, only three of those men considered themselves deists. The others considered themselves born again, if you will, though that term was not in vogue in that day, but born again Christians. People that had received Jesus Christ for their salvation and were trusting in Jesus Christ for their eternal security. The formers of our Constitution were prolific in their writings. In fact, they wrote over 17,000 documents. Now, in those 17,000 documents, the most quoted book, in fact, 34% of the quotes in those 17,000 documents came from one place, the Bible. Now, we've talked about George Washington before. The world wants to tell you today that George Washington was not a Christian. I wish they could ask George. You see, if they actually go back and they study George Washington, they're going to find that he not only was a believer in Jesus Christ, George Washington was a student of the Bible. We've talked about him before, but because I believe it's important for you to know, he was baptized as an infant in the Episcopal Church. Don't blame him for that. His parents were Episcopal. That's where he ended up. But during the Revolutionary War, he strove to get close to God. He spent every extra moment he had buried in the Word of God, seeking to be the man he needed to be for God, that he might lead others in that way. And in that study, he became convicted very greatly in his heart about something that needed to change. He believed by studying the Bible that the proper means of baptism was by immersion as an adult or as someone who chooses it after salvation. And he believed that so much, and he was so convicted by it, he went to the chaplain of his regiment, Reverend John Gano, and he said, "I have been investigating the Scriptures, and I believe immersion to be taught by the Word of God, and I demand it at your hands." Now, George really didn't know because he wasn't a Baptist. You don't have to demand that a Baptist preacher baptize somebody. I mean, they kind of like doing that. Why did he have to demand it? Well, he had to demand it because this was winter. This was winter, and their water source was frozen over. And so on a very cold morning, John Gano said that he went out into the Potomac River and cut out a section of ice. And there he baptized the commander-in-chief in front of 42 witnesses. Now, my friends, people might get baptized that don't have faith. That happens sometimes. But I dare say you would not knowingly go into the Potomac River in the winter after ice has been chiseled out of it to be baptized if you didn't believe the Bible. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." I don't think they're teaching that in most history classes. Oh, they do teach something, he said. This is the same man that said, "Give me liberty or give me death." The preamble to the Constitution says each person is endowed by his Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson said not to be a believer, but Thomas Jefferson, as president, appropriated money for missionaries to go to the Indian tribes and preach the gospel. Thomas Jefferson appropriated money from Congress to place a Bible in the hand of every student in every school in the United States at that time. Paid for by Congress, by the way. Bible verses are etched on many federal buildings. If you go to Washington, D.C., go to the Supreme Court building, what you're going to see there are a lot of statues of lawgivers, and they're all faced in a certain direction, and they're faced looking at one central figure. That central figure is Moses, and they are looking not to Moses, but they are looking to what is in Moses' hands, and what is in his hands is the Ten Commandments. That's in our nation's highest courts. But many states are outlawing the Ten Commandments from being shown in our courts. On the oak doors of the court chambers, you will find carved the Ten Commandments. Bible verses everywhere throughout our nation's capital. Every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a chaplain paid by our tax dollars. That goes back to 1777. The first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." Apparently, he didn't know anything about being politically correct in that day. Inside the cap of the Washington Monument are these words, "Laos Deo, praise be to God." Presidents, lawmakers, judges, witnesses, all are sworn in court on the word of God. Go to the city itself, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. You know, George Washington never ruled there, never got to really see it, the Capitol building structure. He had left office before that time, never got to serve there. But he had a lot to do with laying out the Capitol. And the Capitol is laid out in a certain way. The White House is to the north. The Jefferson Memorial is to the south. And so you got the White House up here. You got the Jefferson Memorial down there. To the east of the Capitol, there is the Lincoln Memorial. And to the west of the Capitol, there is the Capitol building. And to the west, there's the Lincoln Memorial. Just in opposite ways. If you draw lines, what you see is a cross. You cannot hide the Christian stand of our government founders in our nation's capital itself. The right start began actually before the Revolution. Christopher Columbus said, "It was the Lord God who put it into my heart to journey, to think that it was possible to go from here to the Indies. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah the prophet had said, that the gospel must be preached to so many nations, and that is what convinced me to go." The Pilgrims, you know the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims gathered on the Mayflower. They wrote the Mayflower compact. And it says, "For the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith." When our nation came together to be a nation, it was brought together by its chaplain, Chaplain Reed, who read Psalms 33:12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Dwight Eisenhower said, "Without God, there could be no American form of government." What I'm trying to tell you is this nation got the right start. And you know, people might want to wash it away. They may want to erase it. But the truth stands that our founders stood for Jesus Christ, and we should likewise. America is ripe for freedom. Verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy." America has been blessed with a freedom that allows us to share the gospel like nowhere else, to get the gospel to individuals that can hope in his mercy. I believe God placed that yearning for freedom in the hearts of our founders. I believe that yearning has spread to others. I believe it is in the heart of every American somewhere. We are not only a nation to enjoy freedom. We are a nation to use freedom. Our nation has been involved in providing freedom for others, and there are few in the world today that have any freedom. There are many that have freedom, but there are few that have any freedom that were not at some time aided by the United States of America. We have not only preserved freedom for ourselves, we have promoted freedom for others. And we should thank those men and women who have paid the ultimate price. We should pray in thanksgiving for them. We should pray for their families. We should understand, if anybody understands, that freedom isn't free. There is a blood sacrifice that has been made to allow us the freedom we have. And that sacrifice points to Jesus. Jesus, who left his heavenly throne to live on this earth. Jesus, who was despised and rejected of man. Jesus, who was taken to the cross and nailed there and died there, that we might be forgiven of our sin, and that we might have a heavenly home. It is only by accepting his promise of forgiveness, it's only by accepting his sacrifice that we can truly be free. Now, many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence paid the ultimate sacrifice. Many of them died for the stance they took for freedom. Today, we have a free press. Not a smart one, but a free one. We have free speech. We have the freedom to pursue the best for our families. We have the freedom to vote, the freedom to elect leaders, the freedom to worship the God of this universe, and at this time, our pulpits are free. And by the way, I do not agree with everything our president says, but I am thankful for a president who has been willing to stand up and state that our pulpits should remain free. I believe God has allowed America to prosper so that the gospel could go out to a lost world from here. You have the freedom to speak. You need to be speaking for Jesus. You have the freedom to tell people how they can go to heaven. Who else is going to do that? We have the freedom. We should be doing it. It should be part of our every breath. And we should remember that there was a sacrifice paid. The red bars on our flag do not stand for the cherry trees in Washington. It represents the blood sacrifice. America has a freedom, and we must not waste that freedom because it came at a high price. And my friend, if you know Jesus as your Savior, your forgiveness, your hope of heaven came at a high price. And we should share it with others. Don't waste the freedoms that God has given you. Then America is ripe for the future. May I tell you, I don't think our best is over. I don't think we're through. I don't think our possibilities have ended. I think the brightest days for our nation, if God tarries, is still ahead. And I think we, as we give ourselves to God and His will, we can accomplish greater things than our forefathers ever dreamed. In verses 22 and 21, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Now, in truth, America's seen better days spiritually. In truth, we have had people stand more for God than they are standing for God today. We need to shake that off, and we need to stand for God as they did. We need to understand the problems of our nation are partly our fault. You see, we want to blame politicians. They're an easy target, but somebody had to put them in office. We want to blame Hollywood, but somebody buys the movie tickets. We want to blame people that just live like the devil. But the truth for America's future, the rightness of our nation in the future, has to be set by those that believe in Jesus Christ, that are trusting in Him and hoping in His mercy. America's greatness in the future will not come by getting what we deserve. America's greatness in the future will only come as we bow to the mercy of Almighty God. We must trust in His holy name. Rejoice in the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, he says. Rely upon His help. Now, waiting upon the Lord is not becoming spiritual couch potatoes. Waiting upon the Lord is like a waiter in a restaurant looking at a table as what needs to be done. How can I serve? Where can I fit in? And where is there a need? And rushing to meet that need. That's what we should be doing for Jesus. every day, some of us come across people that do not know Jesus. It's not by accident. How do you change America? One person at a time. Getting one heart to Jesus changes that person, can change a family, can change a community, can change a nation. It is time to get sin out of our own lives. We need to start living like the Lord we say we serve. We can't be happy living away from God, and we certainly can't do His will if we live away from His purposes. If there are things in your life that do not belong there, that would not please God, get them out. If you are doing things that God would not want you to do, stop them. If there are things that God desires for your heart, move to them. God has a plan and purpose for you, just like He does for our nation, by you doing what God wants you to do and other believers doing what God wants them to do. Together, we shape the future of this country. It's time to put your dependence on His help. I don't know how much you pray for this nation, but you should be praying for this country. Listen, I pray for our president, but I want you to know I prayed for the president before this president, and I prayed for the presidents before him, because God tells us to pray for those that are in authority. I want them all to succeed. But I don't want them to succeed on their will. I want them to succeed on His will. It's time to trust in His holy name. I don't know what you're trusting in, but if you are going through difficulty, if you're going through problems, if you're going through sickness, if you're going through hardships, let me tell you, trusting in the doctors, it's good to have trust in a doctor. Trusting in medicine, trust in the insurance companies. Listen, you need to trust in Jesus. You need to focus your trust in Him. Certainly use the resources that are there that He has provided for you, but focus your trust in the Lord for His help. Put Jesus first in all you do. Listen, it's only when we put Jesus first in all we do that we make a difference. This past week, I got to see our youth seeking to do exactly that, seeking to put Jesus first in all they did, seeking to make sure that Jesus was lifted up in their worship and in their time with one another and helping one another and you know, just being the youth group that they need to be. And that's only the start of what I believe God's going to do through this group of young people. We're going to see amazing things in this next year through them. Not because of who they are, but because of whose they are. And because I believe they're going to seek to follow Jesus. Now, they're going to set a pattern, but we should be following the pattern that Jesus has set for us. All of us following the Lord, bowing to His will, rejoicing in the Lord, making this nation what God desires it to be. If believers in America will do these simple things, oh, listen, we're right for the future. And things are going to take place through this nation for God's glory that the world never dreamed. It starts with a simple decision, and you need to make it. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to Jesus. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, listen, you can never be the person God wants you to be, and so you can never help this country be the country it needs to be. Today, you need to give your heart to Him. Just walk down this aisle, say, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. We'll pray together. He'll come into your heart. He'll save your soul. Maybe you're a believer, and you understand that the responsibility for changing the nation is up to us. Perhaps you need to walk closer with God than you've been walking. God wants to make a difference through your life. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and make sure that all of you is all of His. And maybe you need a church home and God said, this is the place. Come and be part of us. We are excited to welcome new people in the family. God's speaking to your heart. God has a nation that He started right, that's right for freedom, and that is right for the future. We need to be right with Him. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for this time to be together. We pray, Father, that You would move in our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for each one that needs to take a step for You, I pray that they would take it. Father, our nation rests on the commitment of believers. Let believers stand strong for You, and let that begin here. Thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would You come?